This is the first study in a series of studies in the Book of Psalms that we have recorded and uploaded on our website, that the people of God may access them, and I trust will find them helpful in their walk with the Lord at this time as our nation goes through a difficult time. We're going to begin with prayer. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that the word of God was given, that we might know who you are, that we might understand your love, your grace, your compassion, your mercy. And we thank you that your word was given, that we might, Lord, know how to live our lives, particularly at this time, Lord, in the history of our nation. It is surely more important than ever that we should live Christian lives, that we should be a testimony to this world of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to love Christ in the midst of a lost world. And so, our Father, we pray as we study your word in these sessions that your blessing would rest upon us. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would be present with us wherever we are, in our homes or wherever we're listening. We pray, Lord, that whether the person listening is on their own or with their loved ones, we pray that we would be conscious of the Spirit of God present with us, comforting us, leading us to Christ, teaching us your word. So, Lord, bless us, we pray, as we study your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first study is going to be on Psalm 1. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1, and I'm going to read through that psalm. And this is what the word of God says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I think that if we were to ask Christians to name their favorite book in the Bible, I suspect that the book of Psalms would be somewhere near the very top. I know myself many Christians who would name the book of Psalms as their favorite book. Why is that? Why is it that Christians love the book of Psalms? Well, very briefly, before we look at Psalm 1, I want to give you three reasons why I think we love the book of Psalms. The first reason, I think, is because the book of Psalms speaks about Christ. Perhaps the most well-known and the favorite psalm is Psalm 23. And you know this psalm well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And of course that psalm speaks about Christ. And we read that psalm and our hearts are warmed because we see Jesus, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Companion, and it brings joy to our hearts. So I think the first reason why Christians love the book of Psalms is because the Psalms speak about Christ. But I think the second reason why we love the book of Psalms is because these Psalms remind us of our Father's love and care for us. My favorite psalm is Psalm 103. And there's a lovely verse in that psalm, and I turn to that verse again and again. And it simply says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And I love that because as a father, I look at how I treat my children. And I'm not perfect in any way. But I seek to have compassion on my children and I seek to love them. And that verse reminds me that my Father in heaven has compassion on me, even when I fail, even when I have a dreadful day full of sin, when I've given way to sin and done terrible things. God's love and God's compassion rests upon me. There's also, of course, Psalm 46, another favorite psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And again, it reminds us of our Father's love and care for us. So we love the Psalms because they speak of Christ. We love the Psalms because they remind us of our Father's love and care for us. And thirdly, I think we love the Psalms because these Psalms remind us that we are all weak and much in need of God. When we are tempted and fall into sin, the Psalms remind us that we're not the only ones who've done this, but all God's children fall into sin. When we feel depressed, when we feel downcast, we turn to the Psalms because there we find the psalmist is also discouraged and despondent. You know, Psalm 43 and verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why are you despondent? So the psalmist there acknowledges this, that he is in a depressed condition. Or when we are tempted by the world and we feel the draw and the seduction of the world to live a worldly life, we turn to Psalm 73 and the psalmist says, well, as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And in that psalm, he talks about how the wicked have a wonderful life. They have a very comfortable life with the possessions of this world and how he was envious of them. And we feel like that sometimes. And so we turn to the Psalms because the psalmists relate to us. We see our weaknesses, we see our frustrations, we see our difficulties, our turmoils in their prayers. And that's a comfort. It reminds us that God's people have always been in difficulties as we are. And God's people have turned to God in prayer. And we sometimes use their prayers as our prayers. Well, this first session we're going to be studying Psalm 1. And this lovely psalm, a very well-known psalm, is basically a description of a godly person. The Bible tells us that it is God's desire that we, his children, should live godly lives here on earth. In Paul's letter to Titus, Paul says to Titus that the grace of God has appeared here on earth. And one of the reasons why God has poured out his grace upon us is so that we may know how to resist sin, how to flee sin, and how to live godly, upright lives. And Paul says, this is God's will for you, that you should be sanctified, that you should be holy, you should be godly. So this is God's will for you today, that you should live a godly life. And particularly as we think of our nation at this time during the coronavirus crisis, what is it that the world needs? Well, of course, the world needs prayer and the world needs God to come and visit us. But the world also needs godly Christians who live kind, compassionate, merciful lives. Godly Christians who speak of the Lord Jesus and the comfort and the encouragement that he brings. It needs godly Christians who will pray for this nation and pray for her leaders. So if at any time that this nation needed godly Christians, it is now. And this psalm is a description of what a godly person looks like. We know we need to be godly, but what does that look like? Well, here in this psalm, we have a description of a godly person. There are four things in this psalm as we go through it verse by verse, and I want to bring them to your attention. Four things in this psalm. The first is this: a godly person does not follow the ways of this world. A godly person does not follow the ways of this world. Look at verse 1 with me. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. It's interesting, isn't it, that he begins with a negative. He doesn't say, blessed is the man who does this and does this and does this. But he says, blessed is the man who doesn't do this. And I think that's because the psalmist is aware of how much we are under temptation to live as the ungodly do. We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by people who are not Christians. We're surrounded by people who live godless lives. And their lives can be a temptation to us because their lives seem to be so happy. They seem to have so many possessions. They seem to have so much in their lives. And so we're tempted. And so the psalmist begins with this negative and he says, yes, I know all this temptation is there and I know you're surrounded by the godless. But God requires you to swim against the tide. God requires you to go against the crowd so that when the crowd is going in one direction, you're actually going in the opposite direction. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. I encourage you to take hold of that first verse and make it a prayer, and ask God to help you deal with the temptations that we face daily in this world, not to become like the people of this world. And that includes not to become anxious about this life. We live in a world today where anxiety is everywhere. Have you been to the supermarket lately? And you've seen anxiety in its raw form. I was in the supermarket the other day and there was an argument going on. And I don't know what it was about. I didn't want to get involved. But it was obviously something to do with a person wanting one thing and somebody else wanting the same. And you think, this is because they're anxious. They're worried about life. And yet the Bible says, the godly person does not follow in that way. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So the first description of a godly person is that he or she does not follow the ways of this world. The second description of a godly person is that a godly person's life is founded upon the Word of God. A godly person's life is founded upon the Word of God. It says in verse 2, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. I'm sorry, I've read the wrong verse. It's actually verse 2. And verse 2 says, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So the psalmist goes straight into the Word of God. And he says, the godly person will have the Word of God at the center of their lives. And look at the verbs that he uses in verse 2. He delights in the law of the Lord. Doesn't just read it and study it and seek to follow it. Now, of course, we must do all of that. But he uses this word delight. He says his heart is thrilled with the Word of God. His heart rejoices in the Word of God. His heart is filled with happiness when he reads or she reads the Word of God. Delights in the law of the Lord. And the second verb that he uses, and on his law he meditates day and night. Let me just pause at those two verbs. You know, there is a rule in the Christian life. When God commands us to do something, we can turn that command into prayer. Because that is what God wants us to do. When God commands us to do something, He is not saying, now off you go and in your own strength, do your best to obey this command and I will watch you. That's not how the Bible works. That's not how our relationship to God works. And I think we as Christians often take it like this. God has given me a command. Well, I'd better go off and do my very best to obey it. And if I don't, He'll be displeased with me. But actually, we know that these things are impossible unless God enables us. We find it very difficult to delight in the Word of God. We read it dutifully. And we seek to study it. And we seek to draw encouragement from it. But I think most Christians, if we were to say, do you find the Word of God delightful? Do you find your heart thrilled when you study the Word of God? That's not always the case. If I were to say to you, turn to the book of Habakkuk or to the prophecy of Nahum and delight in the prophecy of Nahum, I think we would all find it difficult. And what we are to do is to take it to the Lord in prayer. And we are to say to the Lord, I want to delight in your word because that is what a godly person does. Will you help me to do so? It is possible to delight in the law of God. It is possible to read the word of God and to be thrilled in our hearts and to have our hearts uplifted by the word of God, to find the word of God exhilarating. It is possible. And we must ask God to give us that thrill every time we study His Word. So he says a godly person delights in the law of the Lord. And then he says, and on His law he meditates day and night. There was a time in my ministry when I used to say to all God's people, you must memorize the Scriptures. Well, I think I now know enough about human nature to know not everybody's memory works the same way. There are some people who have wonderful memories and they can memorize verses and passages and bring them to mind. And I envy people like that. And then there are people who just cannot memorize. I have members in my family who are like that. They simply cannot memorize Scripture. If you were to say to them, do you remember this particular verse? And you throw out a number, John 3:18 or something like that. Their mind goes blank. They don't have a numeric memory. They don't memorize these things. And that's fair enough. This is how God has made us. And we must never condemn ourselves for not being able to memorize Scripture. But we are instructed to meditate on God's word, and it's a useful thing to find ways of doing this. In today's world, it is possible to have the Bible with you on your phone. And if you're out for a walk, or you're on the train, you can pull out the Bible, look at a verse, and think about it, meditate on it. I had a friend in Africa who used to write out a verse on a piece of paper before he went for his daily walk. Because he couldn't remember. He was a missionary, but he couldn't remember the Scriptures. And then while he was out for his daily walk, about a few hundred meters down the road, he would pull out the piece of paper and read it. And he would meditate on a few words. And then he would pull out the piece of paper again, read it, and meditate on a few more words. Whatever method we use, it is important to take a verse, to take a passage, to look at the words of that passage and to chew them over in our minds, to mull over them so that the Word of God begins to influence our thoughts and our behavior. So a godly person does not follow the ways of this world. A godly person's life is founded upon the Word of God. Thirdly, a godly person is a fruitful person. It says in verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Notice the word planted. It has the idea that there was a tree in a desert. And the tree was producing no fruit but was withering away because it was in a desert and it had no supply of water or nourishment. And somebody came along and uprooted it, the root system and everything, and took it to a place near a stream where there was a supply of water, and transplanted it near that stream. And because it had access to water and nourishment, it began to flourish. It began to produce fruit. It's a picture of the Christian life. We at one time, the Bible says, we at one time lived futile lives. This is how the Apostle Peter puts it. He says, you at one time lived unprofitable, fruitless, futile lives that you inherited from your forefathers. But Peter says, now you have been brought into the kingdom of God. We have been removed from a life of fruitless futility and transplanted into the kingdom of God. And we have resources, we have access to the grace of God, the mercy of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us. We have the Word of God. And we are to produce fruit. In the Bible, fruit refers to Christian character. You know that passage in Galatians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all to do with the character of a person. A person who produces fruit in their life has gentleness. He has love. He has patience. He has long-suffering. He has joy. It's a thing to do with the character. And the Bible here is saying a godly person, increasingly, their character is becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Increasingly, Christ's character is seen in them. Christ's love, Christ's graciousness, Christ's patience, Christ's gentleness, all of that is increasingly seen in a godly person. And we are to pursue Christ-likeness. That is God's great desire for us. And a godly person is a fruitful person, increasingly becoming like Christ. And then fourthly and finally, a godly person has a sure hope of heaven. A godly person has a sure hope of heaven. He closes the psalm with some more negatives about the ungodly. And he says, the wicked are not so, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And that's a reference to the end, to the day of judgment. And he says, on the day of judgment, there will be the wicked. But they've lived unprofitable, fruitless, futile lives. They've never trusted in Christ. They've never pursued Christ-likeness. Their character has never been the character of Christ. And they will be like chaff. And the chaff is separated from the wheat, and the wind blows the chaff away, leaving the wheat. And he says that's how it will be on the day of judgment. But those who belong to the Lord Jesus, those who have a godly character, who have trusted in Jesus Christ and found salvation, found the forgiveness for their sins through his death and resurrection, well, on the day of judgment, they will stand. They will not be driven away from the presence of God, but they will stand with God's people because the Lord knows the way of the righteous. We live in times when we are very aware of the fragility of life, how frail life is today. We're hearing of people, not only in their 70s and 80s, but we're hearing of people in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, who had underlying health issues and caught coronavirus and have died or are dying. And it's a reminder, life is very, very fragile. And we will all one day stand before the judgment seat of God. And the question is, are we ready? Do we have a sure hope of heaven? Is our hope of heaven based firmly on Christ and on Him alone? Do we know Him as our Lord and our Saviour? Do we know the forgiveness of sin through Him, His death and His resurrection? A godly person does. A godly person has trusted in Jesus Christ, doesn't trust in His works or His religion or anything of that kind. Jesus alone, His hope, His righteousness. And when we know that, then we have a sure hope of heaven. So four marks of a godly person. A godly person does not follow the ways of this world. A godly person's life is founded upon the Word of God. A godly person is a fruitful person. And a godly person has a sure hope of heaven. May God help us to understand this. May God help us especially to pursue holiness, to pursue Christ-likeness, to find delight in His Word, and to be more like our Saviour, particularly in these days when our nation so needs godly people to pray for them. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank You for this lovely psalm. In many ways a very comforting psalm, in many ways a challenging psalm. And we thank You, our Father, that You have given us this description of a godly person. And yes, Lord, it is a challenge to us. We are to be godly. We are to be Christ-like. But we thank You that we're not alone in this task. We thank You that You haven't left us to it. But we thank You that the Spirit of God lives in us. And we thank You that we have the resources of heaven. And we pray, our Father, that You would help us to truly pursue holiness in our daily lives. Our Father, we want to pray for our nation at this time. We really are in a crisis, Lord. We have a virus that has come into this nation, and it has already begun to claim lives, and it will probably claim many more lives. It has caused immense suffering, and it has caused mourning, and it has caused panic. And our Father, we pray for this nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray that You would give the Prime Minister, the members of the Cabinet, wisdom from above, that they may rule this nation wisely. We pray especially, Lord, for those who work for the NHS. We thank You for them, Lord, people who have sacrificially worked, endangered their own lives, that they may care for others. Please, will You bless them today? Will You protect them, Lord, we pray, from any harm? We thank You for those who've come out of retirement and have gone back into medical work. Thank You, Lord, for their sacrifice. We thank You, Lord, for the millions who care for their neighbors, and we pray that You might bless them. We pray we as a nation, Lord, might be revived. We pray that our thoughts might turn to God, to Christ, to eternal things. We pray that the Spirit of God Himself would visit us, and He would revive this nation and bring us back to God. Bless us, Lord, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.